What is the future of card shops? And do we still think card shops are critical to the growth of the hobby? We're going to debate now. Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another episode of Cards on the Table. And Teapot and Carter, we're here for the first time doing a Cards on the Table episode in our brand new set inside Cards HQ. We are just days away from this card shop opening to the public. Soon, when you watch this show, you're going to see people in the background and activity and all that kind of fun stuff. But we're still in setup mode right now. But I'm excited to be in here filming today, and it's actually very relevant to our first topic today.
Yep.
Because today we're talking about card shops, and we're talking about the future of card shops and the importance of card shops in the hobby moving forward. Are card shops going to be more important as Fanatics tries to expand its reach and 10x the hobby, or do they become less important because Fanatics is more known as a direct-to-consumer brand? Where does this all go, and how does it relate to some of the things happening right here in this store? Teapot, I'm going to start with you today to get some of your thoughts.
I'm going to start with a congratulations, because I, as excited as I am about this, and I am pumped, you guys must be like very, very, very relieved, excited. I know.
Relieved this, and a little tired.
This guy's
very, let's say very.
You, relieved all and very, very tired, yes.
I mean, look, I think shops are essential. Shops are absolutely essential. They are everyone's home within the hobby. You know, you have your cards in your place, but there's a reason that most of us like traditional cardboard and haven't gravitated yet necessarily to the digital cards. It's because they're tactile. Mm-hmm. They're tactile. Yeah. And in a shop, for me, I'm super excited because it's very relaxing. It's a stress reliever to be able to walk away. I'm going to be able to walk away from data and testing and actually look at cards, which is what so many people up until now have thought my job was.
Right.
No, I'm just doing product development, you know, so this is going to be really a welcome change. I will say I feel bad that not everybody has the opportunity to have a shop near them, because it's such a different environment. There's a buzz. It just feels, you know, very relaxing being there. And some of them really aren't that fun or hospitable on top of that, which is why I think it's so exciting that you guys are trying to be everybody's local card shop. We're building something special here, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah,
I agree. Now, Carter, obviously, you and I are a little bit biased with this shop opening up behind us.
A little.
Of course, we think, you know, card shops are important. But as you kind of think about the future and where the hobby could go and the role of card shops in the future of the hobby, what do you see?
Well, I think it surrounds community building. I think hobby shops naturally build communities, but I think a lot of them can do a lot better. I think Fanatics has realized that early on, you know, into this process with them. The Hobby Rip Night has been super popular the first time they did it. And I think they realize that hobby shops are essential in that aspect. And I think what Teapot said, like being able to touch cards, being able to go to a shop and being able to see cards, there's not shows all the time in your local area.
Yeah.
You know, for us here in Atlanta, we get one big show a year right now. It, you know, fortunately this year we're going to get two. But, you know, for the most part, I think the community building and the aspect of actually being able to see the cards in front of you, not having to wait a couple days for it to be shipped, not being worried about condition, you can see it there. That's the hobby shop experience that's essential for this community.
We're leaning into something a little different, I think, inside Cards HQ than a lot of card shops are, and that's that we're leaning into the sale of singles, right? A lot of card shops seem to be more oriented around selling product, and they'll have showcases of singles, but they don't maybe move that often. They're not always that competitively priced. Now, there are some exceptions. Obviously, Burbank Sports Cards out on the West Coast is a big exception to that. They lean heavily into singles. And we really liked that model. I wanted this store to feel like it was almost a card show within a shop, right? Lots of cards to see, lots of variety, cards changing out often, everything of that nature. Now, there's a lot of people out there that question, is this sustainable? Can this be done at this type of scale? And, you know, and really be able to have the inventory remain fresh and be able to turn enough inventory over and everything like that. Obviously, our strategy around it was to also have a big online component, because the online will supplement the retail sales, or in many ways we think exceed the retail sales, and will allow us to turn the inventory. So even if it's not the retail customers coming in and buying all the inventory off all the shelves every single week, the online customers will be snagging cards, and then that allows the inventory turn, which then allows everything to remain fresh. That's how we're hoping things will work. We'll see. But as I kind of reflect on, you know, our experiences here and thinking about the future of the hobby, for me, I think Fanatics and Topps would be very smart to try to encourage the development of premier card shops that offer that experience in major cities throughout the country. Mm-hmm. You know, this type of environment in other cities, and there's some card shops out there already that do an amazing job and offer an amazing experience, but there needs to be more. I think as we're talking about 10Xing the collector base, it's a really good way to do it. Teapot, what strikes you about this store that is an element that you would like to see elsewhere that could help grow it?
Well, I think HQ headquarters makes a ton of sense, first of all, because we've got everything at SCI. We've got the card shop. We've got all of that. I walked in with no cards today, and there's a buzz. I had a spring in my step. It's just a completely different feel. I've never been in a shop like this. And again, there's no inventory out yet. So that really says something. I think this is going to be a destination. And I think when you're talking about growing the hobby, a huge thing is people will walk in and they'll feel it. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get that if they just look at cards on eBay.
Yeah.
This is going to draw people in. There's going to be people at the Braves game coming over and at the main event next door that are going to be really curious. And I think that's a huge piece of
it. It's a good thing. It's a community piece that Carter said earlier. All right. Another huge thing is what's going on right now on Pristine Auctions website, because they're doing another one of their elite auctions, and they got some really cool cards in their elite auction currently, including, by the way, gentlemen, they have a one of one Ja'Marr Chase rookie card in their elite auction. It is the 2021 Prism Fireworks, the Black Finite one of one, graded in SGC 9.5. I like that card right now because everyone's forgotten about the Bengals.
Yeah.
No one remembers Ja'Marr Chase. No. No one remembers Joe Burrow. They're yesterday's news. Bye, bye, bye. That's what I'm
Reeves
doing.
Over there.
That's Reeves maybe has influenced me.
Reeves is an influencer.
What do you have your eye on, Carter?
I got a LeBron James Toppersheen Refractor rookie, numbered out of 1999.
That's a beautiful card.
So, I mean, honestly, I was watching the Lions game this weekend, and they were playing the Bowman commercial. I think it played two or three times during the game. Huge, right? So I'm big on LeBron right now in the hobby.
I like it. How about you, T-Pop?
Got to go with Mahomes. We're going into this weekend. You know who I'm rooting for this weekend, both teams. It's 2018 Panini 1 patch auto.
Okay.
Nike logo, really cool looking card.
That's nice.
Panini 1 card. Looks, it's a white box one of one. So really cool.
Those are all great cards. And all of these cards, plus so many more, are available for auction right now on pristineauction.com. And when you sign up at pristineauction.com, use registration code SCI, and they're going to give you $10 in free credit towards your first purchase. Okay, let's talk baseball, and let's talk undervalued baseball cards for a moment here. This is something I'm sure all of our viewers are interested in because they want to know, who should they be buying before this year's Major League season starts? So, Teapot, you tackled this topic in the Data Dive video on the Market Movers channel that you did this past weekend. I know some of the suggestions and things that you covered there had come out of the podcast that you're part of. So talk us through some of the names and your thoughts on some of these names. And then Carter and I are going to tell you where you're wrong.
Yeah, well, I went 0-for-5. You'll have to tell the other guys, but I went 0-for-5 on my NBA picks. So I thought I missed an episode. It was my off week on the Spitball and Cards podcast, which has been a lot of fun too. And those guys kind of went through and each took turns picking maybe some guys who have some established track record, but have flown a little bit under the radar. So they went through Rafael Devers. My vote was a no on Devers. Yeah. At least for the short term. I want to see more long term. Yordan Alvarez, I said yes, although injuries are a concern. Lou Bob, I'm unsure. Coin flip for me. Lindor to me is the strongest yes. Machado is a yes. He's already a Hall of Famer pretty much, unless he just falls apart. And Pete Alonso, he's got the power. He seems like a lock for 500 home runs, honestly, if he just stays healthy and keeps this trajectory. So a lot of names thrown out there. And, you know, baseball's kind of become my favorite sport to talk about and to collect. So it was a lot of fun kind of looking at their picks and just reacting to those.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So some names on there that you like quite a bit going forward. What do you think about this list? And is there anyone who wasn't mentioned who might be a sleeper who you have your eyes on?
You know, going into this baseball season, I'm thinking a lot about the American League, because we're going to get a new MVP with Ohtani going to the NL.
Oh, so that's a good point.
So that's going to be a big
play
in the card world, because we're going to get that new MVP, and I think Yordan is the guy, right? I think he has one of the best shots in the American League. So, you know, I think he's heavily undervalued. I think there's potential there. You know, I think you can look at different guys in the American League, though, across the board who have, you know, have a potential shot. I mean, Corey Seager can tear it up at any point. You know, he has an MVP caliber, you know. So, but one guy that you said you were unsure about was, I'm kind of high on Luis Robert.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He kind of fits that type of, you know, similar to Acuna and Julio Rodriguez. Now, is he that good to those two? No, absolutely not. But I think he's all-star caliber. His biggest thing is he's got to stay on the field.
He does.
And he's got to be consistent. But he's in that, like, athletic ability, power, home runs. Yeah. He can do everything. So I like him. I think, you know, the one thing with him, though, is in market values, when you look at a lot of his more flagship cards, they're very high population in comparison to other players. So they're hard to compare. But if you look at maybe some of his autos or some numbered cards, they're probably relatively low. And so that's why I think he could be potentially undervalued as well.
He's interesting because he was one of these guys who was a really hot name in the hobby a few years ago. A lot of hype around him, a lot of excitement around him, a lot of capital being put into his cards. And then he had injury issues and somewhat disappointment, everything like that. But this last season was, I think, the best season that he's had. It was a sneaky good season for him, but he wasn't talked about a lot.
And the White Sox were a dumpster fire, so that's why.
If he had that season a few seasons ago, everyone in the hobby would be going crazy, because that would have been, he was always living up to the hype.
Yeah.
But because he had a couple of down seasons, then all of a sudden he's got a good one, and now it's like everyone in the hobby's moved beyond him. No one remembers him anymore. And so his cards, I do think his cards are undervalued. I think it's going to take him stringing another good season or two along.
Yeah.
For that to matter, I like all of these picks. I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez as my favorite from the list. And for me, it comes down to one simple reason. Of all those teams mentioned, the Astros have by far the best odds to get to the World Series this year, which means that he's got the best shot of all of those guys at some postseason heroics, which can really boost up card prices. All right, speaking of card prices, guys, we got a lot more to talk about, including what is the best football quarterback matchup in the Super Bowl for the value of football cards. We're going to get to that one next. Guys, make sure to get the Market Movers app right now. Try it out for free. It's going to be incredibly helpful whenever you visit a card shop, such as Cards HQ, to comp out the cards that are there. Just go to the App Store on your phone and search for Market Movers. Okay, we're starting our mailbag topics today with a good one. We're down to four quarterbacks remaining in the NFL playoffs. Obviously, you've got Jared Goff, who's about to take on Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. And you've got Lamar Jackson, who's about to take on Patrick Mahomes. Got some MVP winners over there, which is pretty exciting. My question for you is, strictly from the standpoint of the hobby, who is it better to have win both of these games and advance to the Super Bowl? Teapot, I'm going to start with you.
I feel like I'm living a dream, obviously.
Yeah.
The Lions are in the NFC Championship. They made it. I have no expectations for the game. I'm happy they made it this far. If they win, I'll be ecstatic. The marquee matchup is obviously Lamar and Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tongue twister. You know, two MVPs each with one assumed to be happening. His best Vegas future odds are -8,000 to win the MVP this season. So that's really interesting. And all the while people have been talking about Joe Burrow over the last few years, here comes Lamar again with another MVP season and the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl. That's the matchup everybody's watching. I don't know that there's a winner in that is better for the card hobby. As much as I hate to say it, in the Lions-Niners matchup, Purdy winning would be more meaningful because there's just so much money pumped into his cards now. Goff has seen a really nice spike in his card prices all over the map. I think he was on the top five. It's been really interesting, former number one pick, but people have just kind of given up or forgotten about him other than now Lions fans who are, you know, holding up their "In Goff We Trust" signs at every game and blowing the lid off. So, I think it's a really exciting thing. We're going to see one of four things happen. The Lions win their first Super Bowl, which I would call in for a week. Just, I don't know what's going to happen. Purdy wins one, and the Niners win their sixth Super Bowl overall as an organization. Lamar wins his first chip, or Mahomes wins three since 2017. So really fun storylines here. I'm just excited.
It is fun. It is all fun. But Carter, if you have to pick one matchup that you think is going to be best for the hobby in the Super Bowl, what would it be?
It's going to be Chiefs-Niners.
Okay.
It's that simple. I mean, for this whole season, the Chiefs have not been themselves up until the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Mahomes' market has not been strong. People have really hated him. A lot of people have questioned why Mahomes has gone down so much, right? I mean, after all the success since he's come to the league in 2017.
He's never not made the AFC Championship.
It's like, it's unbelievable how much his prices have dropped on so many different cards.
Yeah.
So I think Mahomes and Purdy, there's a lot of upside there if they do make it. And I think it's great to have someone that was drafted so late, you know, make it to the Super Bowl so early, right? And especially with how they went out last year. I mean, you never know. If he didn't get hurt, if the backup didn't get hurt, they could have been in it last year. Very possible.
Yeah. So I'm going to disagree. For me, it's clearly Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. And the reason why is now here you've got a guy who's got two MVP awards, but hasn't had much playoff success, having obviously more playoff success, it seems, this season. But Lamar Jackson getting to the Super Bowl, I think, will be a big deal for his card prices, especially if he goes on and wins it. I think that puts him at a level that's obviously not going to be quite Mahomes level, but it's on up there in terms of all the out of all the quarterbacks right now in terms of their accomplishments so far in their career. On the other side, I agree on Purdy. I think Purdy's going to move the needle more than Goff if he makes it to the Super Bowl. So that's kind of what I'm rooting for.
If the Niners win and I see Reeves in a video holding up his Purdy cards again, it's going to hurt.
No, yeah. You see, very smartly, Reeves has already declared that he's going to sell his Purdy cards this week in a culture collision.
There you go.
As he should. You know, because we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But all right, guys, our second mailbag from today. There's a record sale that is currently happening that is very relevant in the sports card hobby and really just very relevant overall culturally. We have our highest priced women's basketball card ever that is currently being sold, and it may become maybe the highest priced Bowman U University card ever, depending on where the auction goes. Caitlin Clark, her one of one super fractor, her first Bowman from Bowman U, is currently up for auction at PWCC Marketplace. It actually ends tonight. It's over $20,000 already, which has already set the record for a women's basketball player. We'll see what happens in extended bidding tonight and where it goes and where it ends up. This is a very significant sale, though, where even if it gets no more bids at this point, it's still a record-setting sale. What does this mean about the women's basketball market? What does this mean about college cards? There's a lot of interesting things here at play. Carter, I'd like to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm a little unsure what to think of it totally. I mean, obviously, this sale is going to be monumental for the sports card industry. You think of the super fractor and collegiate cards, and you kind of transfer that to professional cards, right? And right now, the collegiate cards have a lot of traction, right? And I think the super fractor card may end up being her biggest card of all time. I think the aspect of the college fandom, you know, the attachment that people can have, you know, they go to Iowa, they're from Iowa. I think she's the type of player that's actually going to bring a lot of those Iowa or women's college basketball fans to the WNBA that maybe aren't paying attention right now. So I actually hope this helps overall. And I could see the WNBA market and, you know, women's sports as a whole growing here in the next year because of her, because of the prominence that she has in our industry already.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. I think it's an exciting sale. What are your thoughts, T-Pot?
We've talked about women's sports in the past, and it comes down to the popularity of the sport overall and how it plays into card values. Those two things are, you know, linked completely. It's really interesting that it's college sports driving this and that she's so popular. Mm-hmm. And it's not just her. There are other college female athletes who have also generated a lot of attention. The question I think that you're getting at is an important one. Is this kind of a harbinger of good things to come for the WNBA and for other professional women's sports? Are they going to draw those people in? She can play basketball. I mean, she is a phenomenal shooter. She's exciting to watch. I think it's drawing a lot of new audience in. Will her WNBA cards surpass Sabrina Ionescu's? Will they surpass some of the Diana Taurasi's and other things that have happened in the past? At this point, I would have to assume so. I think it's going to be really interesting to see it. You know, with this being the first Bowman type thing, will this sort of anchor in? Will this change the dynamic outside of baseball Bowman type prospects starting with the WNBA?
Right.
Well, that's where I was going to go with my thoughts on this. Like, I'm really interested. I think the college, what Bowman has done, what Topps has done with Bowman U and really leaning into the product, and we're seeing the momentum. And I think that's really exciting to see. A good friend of mine who works for Fanatics and was involved from the very beginning with the Topps purchase and their strategy, he said to me early on, he said, one of the things we're strategically going to do is really develop out the college card business. And that was when the first Bowman U came out. He was, you know, a couple of years ago is when he told me about this. And he said that he thought that that business just had a lot of pathway. And of course, back then, a couple of years ago in the hobby, people looked at college cards as like very secondary and and not a lot of interest. And that mindset has definitely started to shift. This sale will further help that mindset shift. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I think the NIL helps with that too.
NIL definitely helps. I just like having more options for people to collect what they want, to collect what they love. And so having nice quality college sets is really nice. All right, guys, that's a lot of topics we have for you today. We appreciate it. Let us know what you want us to talk about in next week's episode. Leave a comment in the YouTube comments and we'll try to attack that. And of course, Cards HQ guys, we're going to be busy at work. We would love to see you here sometime soon. We'll be providing updates even as soon as this weekend on the Sports Card Investor channel. In the meantime, give us a like, give us a subscribe, go download the Market Movers app, and we'll see you soon. Take care.